Hey guys, welcome back to the Wisdom and Stuff podcast. I'm your host, Daryl Boucher, and this is where we cut through the Christianese and tradition-based thoughts that hinder us from the limitless lifestyles that we as actual children of God are designed to walk in. So let's go ahead and dive into the Word and see what the Holy Spirit has for us today. Oh, welcome back, Wisdom and Stuff Podcast. This is Daryl Boucher. Glory to God. It's a good day. We got into last time, we were talking about just kindness and the kindness of God toward us. And there in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that he did all that he did through Christ so that he might show the exceeding grace of his kindness toward us. He wants to show his kindness toward us, and he wants us to begin to receive from him with such childlike faith. Children don't have any problem freely receiving from their parents. They literally don't have any problem with it. They actually expect it. When you're a little kid, you don't go up to your mom and say, okay, mom, how much do I owe you for dinner last night? How much do I owe you for, a nice bed that I had? What's the room and board here? Or we don't even say, well, how can we work it off? Children are born understanding the inherent rights of childhood. And the cool thing is that there are inherent rights, obviously, that children have. They have the right of protection. They have the right of food. They have the right of warmth. They have the right of security. They have the right of love. They have the right of these things. Now, the thing is, though, there is something that is above and beyond that, though, right, where they don't just have rights. They also have privileges. And this is where we want to get into is understanding that God wants to operate in our lives through kindness and not just through covenant rights, okay? Because we can get very legalistic about things even when we're talking about our covenant. And honestly, the covenant is a legally binding thing. It is something that God instituted, so that we would, he instituted it legally so that the legal part of it would trump our behavior. In other words, even if we blow it, we still have a legal covenant with God, and so he did that. But he did that, the reason why he did that was not because he wanted it to be legal. He wanted it to be relational. The relationship part of the covenant is what fuels it. It's the DNA of it. It's the impetus for it. And so, it's like my marriage. We have a legal contract. Me and my wife have a legal contract. We have a marriage license that's filed somewhere in a courthouse in Tulsa or wherever it's filed. But the thing is, even though we have a legally binding contract, that contract was actually originated and birthed and actually came to pass because of a relationship. And so even though it's legally binding, so that Rachel or myself, if I mess something up, that doesn't void the contract. Praise God, It's like the contract is legally binding to protect us from ourselves, but the impetus of it is not legal, it's relational. And so when we have to understand that God, even though we're his children and legally his children, we have the spirit of adoption. He legally birthed us into being through the blood of Jesus. And so we have a covenant with him through Jesus Christ. Praise God for the covenant. But the impetus of the covenant is relational. And he would much rather me know my relationship with me than my relationship with him than my contract with him. And so, the contract is there to protect me from myself. But the relationship is there to actually make me understand, no, this is about love. It's about a father and his child. It's about, his heart toward me, not something that he figured out, that had to happen to protect me from myself. But when we're thinking about kindness, this is something that, once again, it's the nature of God toward us, and we just have to separate what we receive from God from a works-based system. And, I've prayed these prayers. I know other people have prayed these prayers, especially when I was younger in the Lord. But, you'd want something, or you think you needed something or whatever, and you'd be praying for it. And, somehow we'd be like, oh, God, if you give me this thing, and then I'll use it only for good things. I'll use it just at church only. I'll use it just for the kingdom of God only. And somehow we think that we have to talk God into things. And number one, he knows what we're going to use it for. So, whatever. You know, even if we use it for all good or some good, some bad, or all bad, he already knows that. But he makes it rain on the just and the unjust. You know, he fed the 5,000 plus the women and children, and none of them were even saved yet. And how many people in that crowd of 10,000-15,000 people, how many of them in that moment were probably living in gross sin? I bet a lot of them probably were. All of them were unsaved, so all of them were darkness. But how many of them were violators of the law? How many of them had broken commandments? How many of them, you know, were maybe even adulterers or liars or thieves or whatever, you know? And yet he still fed them all. You know, he didn't even ask. He didn't have him sign out a waiver that said, oh yeah, you know, if you're in this kind of sin, you sit over there and you're only going to get a little bit of fish. He didn't. There was no metering of God's love in that. See, in this, he wants to express his kindness toward us in such a way that we're not trying to, you know, that we're taking what we receive out of the exchange and wage mentality, and that we're allowing it just to be about his kindness only. And now, kindness, once again, kindness to a works mentality is hard to receive, and that's why he had to do what he did. In raising up Jesus from the dead and making us sit with him in heavenly places so that he can show his kindness toward us in the way he always wanted to. In the Old Testament, it was very transactional. So he was like, listen, if you do these things, then I'll do this. If you do these things, I'll do this. It was very transactional. And it really wasn't about the extreme demonstration of his kindness. I think, you know, it's like, you know, if somebody were to come up to you just on the street, and you don't know that person, and they were to, you know, you just meet them on literally on the street, and they're like, you know, I'd like to write you a check, you know, and I remember I did this years and years and years ago. I was talking to a friend of mine in the Midwest, and we were just sitting there, and he's a young man, and I asked him this question. I said, you know, if somebody were to come up to you on the street and just ask you, you know, can I write you a check? And I asked him, I said, how much would you have them write you a check? Now, number one, let's just say I use a couple scenarios, but I got to the point, let's just say it was like Bill Gates or something like that you know has a lot of money. So you know the check is going to clear. You know the check is going to be fine. You know they have plenty of money, but you literally just met them. They just met you. And then they're like, hey, I want to give you some money. And I asked them, I said, well, how much would you feel comfortable receiving? And he goes, man, you know, he's thinking about it. I said, I'm just talking about realistically. Some people would be like, I'd have him write a check for whatever. But most of the time, I mean, I want you to actually think about this, because most of the time, people are not as comfortable as they say they would be in receiving things freely, because they would feel a sense of debt. They would feel a sense of obligation. They would feel a sense where, you know, somehow they have to treat that person a different way once they receive the money. And so, I mean, I asked him, I go, how much do you think you'd receive easily? You could walk away, never see him again. You could cash the check, feel like every time you're spending that money, you would have no sense of debt or accountability or, you know, weirdness. There would be nothing. It would just be like, praise God, I received this money. And that number is going to be different for everybody. But the point is like, you know, when I was asking him, I said, well, you think you could like receive $100,000. And, you know, he's a young man, and he's like, no, I don't think I could. I go, okay, well, how much? Maybe 50,000, whatever. And at the time he goes, I think I could very easily walk away from that situation with a totally clear conscience if I just asked for $10,000. You know, now to him at that time, that was a lot of money to him. It also has to do with how much money you're used to dealing with every day and everything. And he's a young man. And so to him, 10,000 was a lot, but it was the amount that he could receive freely. And this is something people have to think realistically. How much would you be able to receive freely? Now, I in the same conversation, I said, okay, now here, let's say Bill Gates comes up to you. You know him. You know who he is. He doesn't know who you are. You introduce yourself, blah, blah, and he goes to write you a check. And this time, though, he says, instead of me writing it to you personally, I want to write a check to your local church. How much could I make that out for? And I mean, he goes, oh, I'd have him write it out for like, you know, $250,000. Easy. No big deal. I go, man, you could receive from him that, you know, you'd have him write a check out for that much and not think anything. He goes, yeah, I wouldn't think anything about it. And in that moment, I said, now notice, the reason why that is because you believe that your church is more worthy to receive than you are. You see, this is what happens a lot of times. People, they really believe that, you know, oh, well, you know, I could receive this much. But personally, how much can you receive freely without feeling weird about it, without having a sense of debt, or without having a sense of you know, like, oh, I need to pay it back through good works even. Or now suddenly, I remember hearing a story from Chris Valentin, where somebody in the church gave him a check for $30,000, you know, and just personal check for $30,000. And he said he felt so weird for a while. Like, he avoided that person, you know, when he saw him in the hallway, because he felt a sense of debt toward that person. And now, he said after a little while, he realized, man, what am I doing? And he went to the Lord about it, and the Lord showed him that he had a works mentality, and because this person gave him $30,000, he felt a sense of debt toward that person. So it was kind of awkward, and he had to break that off. Now, it wasn't the person's fault. It was Chris's fault. Chris had a works mentality. So if somebody gives you something, how much do you owe them now? Now, they're like in the world. Honestly, I've met Christians who literally believe if they give somebody money, then there is an accountability of that person to them. And I've had to correct people with that mentality, where they're like, well, I feel like if I give them this money, then they should do it. No, that's not it. You see, we freely give and we freely receive, and so. You know, if I'm signing a contract with somebody and I'm going into business with them, or I'm hiring them to do something, and there's a legal contract, that's different. But if I'm just giving them something, and I'm responding to the Lord, and the Lord puts something on my heart, and I give that to them, then okay, that's between them and God. I've given it to the Lord. It happened to go to them. You had you know, the check had their name on it or whatever, but I'm giving it to the Lord. And there is no debt at all. But you see, the thing is, how freely we give and how freely we receive go hand in hand. Now, you know, some people they'll give and give and give and not receive very much, and mostly it's because they just don't think they're worthy of receiving anything. But God wants to break that, so we need to understand what kindness is really all about. That He wants to be kind to us, and it's not a matter of, you know, I see this a lot where people. They tell on themselves by their responses, even to negative situations. You know, now we know that the little foxes spoil the vine. We know that, you know, there's certain things we can do that opens the door up for the enemy and all that stuff. But if a negative thing happens, and the first thing we ask is, well, man, am I in sin? You know, what am I doing? Let me go through my life. Well, you know, why are we so sin conscious? It's true. I mean, I don't need to go to my life to see whether or not I'm in sin. I need to go to God and be like, okay, Father, what's going on right now? And honestly, if he tells me I need to repent, I repent. But I'm not going to let sin consciousness lead me down that rabbit hole. You know, and all that tells me is I think that everything bad that's coming to me is my fault. And in like manner, if I'm judging myself that way, now I'm not saying we shouldn't, like I said, the Bible says, judge yourself lest you be judged. So I'm not saying that we don't take an assessment of what's going on in our life, but we should let the Lord do that. We should let the Holy Spirit, He's the one who convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's the one who will tell me whether or not I need to get right with things. And obviously there's things that are blatantly, it's like, hey, if I just did something wrong, I know when I sinned, you know, it's not, but I don't need to go on a witch hunt by any means. And the thing is, though, if I think that everything wrong in my life is because of a negative behavior, then subsequently, I probably think everything good in my life has to do with me doing things right. And that's a works mentality again. That's me not letting God be kind to me. He wants to be kind to me no matter how I am. He literally wants to rain on the just and the unjust. He wants to be kind to whoever will allow Him to be kind. You know, it says that he really wants to search, you know, search through the earth and find out whose heart's perfect toward Him, so He can be strong on their behalf. Now, you know, that's not talking about somebody who is you know, towing the line and doing everything just perfect. It means somebody whose heart is perfect toward Him. Somebody who literally has realized, oh, He is a good Father. He is a kind Father. And man, do I want to see His nature flourish in my life, so that others, I mean, literally others can look at me and be like, oh, my lands, that person is so favored by God. Now, a little bit here too, and I get so excited about this, because kindness is something that we tend to have a hard time with, and sometimes we can be kind to others and still have a hard time receiving it from God. But most of the time, when people are you know, most of the time people still have strings attached to what they do. You know, they just do. I don't know. They just do. They have some kind of string attached, you know, to where even if they, I've said this before, where it's like either the things of God are free or they're not. You know, it's, and the one of the illustrations the Lord showed me years and years and years ago was, you know, if somebody came up and they were suffering from like lung cancer or something like that, or emphysema or something, and they came up for prayer, and I knew that it's because, you know, in the past they had smoked, you know, like 3 packs a day for all these years, and they come up for prayer, and now number one, some people would look at that and go, well, you know what? They smoke 3 packs a day. Of course they have lung cancer. Well, you know, does God heal that? Yes, he does. Praise God. And so let's say we lay hands on him. You know, he's at church. We lay hands on him. He gets healed instantly. His lungs are totally clear and perfect and pure. He knows it. And, you know, he came up. He could barely breathe. Now he breathes big, full breaths. He could barely speak, or he is gravelly, and now he speaks totally normal. We know that he was healed. He knows it, and everybody's rejoicing. Praise God. And then what if, you know, I'm leaving the church that day and I'm driving out of the parking lot and I see him in the parking lot smoking? You know, how would we think of that? Would we think he's just ungrateful? Would we think of, and now what if we see him smoking? Number one, what are we judging him on? And then number two, let's say in a couple of weeks he comes back and his symptoms of emphysema are back, or his symptoms of lung cancer are back. You know, how quick are we to pray for him again? You see, these are the things that expose a works mentality. Because literally, God, he said, you know, that we should forgive 70 times 7, right? He literally says, listen, I mean, how many times has he forgiven you? How many times has he forgiven me for the same thing over and over again? And he's quick to do it. He, you know, I remember a time when I used to think I had to wait like 3 days before I could even talk to God after I sinned, because I wanted to make sure my life was kind of right before I went to him again. He wasn't waiting 3 days. He was just waiting for me to come. And so I'm just talking about kindness, where it's like, how quickly are we to actually give things freely? Or are there still strings attached? Kindness is not about a reciprocation based on somebody else. It is the expression of our nature. And so when God is kind, it has nothing to do with how we're acting or not acting. That was Old Testament. He was limited to that. In the New Testament, he recreated us in his likeness and image so he could show his kindness toward us finally. Praise God. And here we're still walking around in a wage-based system where we expect others to, you know, only receive based on their good behavior, and we believe the same of ourselves. That we can say, oh yeah, I confess the scripture, that's why I got healed, or I fasted and prayed, and that's why this happened, or whatever. It's like, God's goodness. How about that? That's why things happen. God's kind. That's why things happen. And when we can, you know, look, there's value to obedience. There's value to prayer and fasting. There's value to reading their word. There's value to holy living. There's value to all those things. But none of those things equals the blessing of God. The kindness of God is separate from our actions because it's his kindness. It's his. It's not mine. It's his. His kindness toward me is his nature toward me, right? And, man, oh goodness, we're running out of time. But I want to get into one more podcast about this, because I want us to just to break off the, you know, man, just challenge yourself. You know, challenge yourself. And like I said, how we judge others is how we judge ourselves. And that's why he talked to me that one time years ago about the hypothetical person who had lung cancer. You know, how quick am I to relieve people of their sins, to forgive them? How quick am I to not only forgive them, but to actually pour out blessing? You know, right in the middle of their sin. I mean, God, you know, Jesus showed the nature of God. Obviously, he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And over again, he showed the nature of God in the Gospels when he healed them all. You know, it says there was multitudes there, and he healed them all. Time and again, he healed them all, right? He fed the 5,000, you know, he blessed multitudes. And those people were steeped in sin. Those are the same people who are going to yell, crucify, crucify, when he was in Jerusalem. These are the same people who are going to reject him time and again. These are the same people who even after the day of Pentecost, are not going to receive him. And he knows all that because God's omniscient, so God knew all that was going to happen. And he still blessed them. That's why he says in Matthew chapter 5, he goes, we love those who hate us. We bless those who curse us, and we pray for those who spitefully use us. Then we're going to be like our Father which is in heaven. Then we're going to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Do you see this? Where, man, kindness is such a big extension of God. And the more kind we are to people, the more we're allowing God's kindness to flow through us. It's not a reciprocation. It's not like if I'm not kind, God won't be kind. He's kind. But I limit how much I receive from him. It's like the valve, you know, it's like I could have a whole reservoir, you know, the Hoover Dam. You know, the Hoover Dam, this giant dam, that there's this huge reservoir of water behind it. And yet, you know, every now and then, all the time, it's letting some water out. But sometimes it lets more out than others. And what if all there was a little kind of house garden hose spigot on it, and that's how much came out? Well, what's behind the dam and what's coming out of the dam is two different things based on the valve. And this is how it is with God's kindness. His kindness is infinite. It's pouring out over us right now. Praise God. His kindness toward our families, his kindness toward our minds and hearts and souls and bodies, his kindness toward every area of our life, his kindness toward us is pouring out. But we have a spigot on it if we have a works mentality. And so we're like, well, I only have earned this much, or I'm only worthy of this much, or I still have to get things right before I can receive more kindness. And we say things that sound really spiritual, but they're just pharisaical, and they're literally just works based, and they're like, well, you know, I know God has more for me, so I'm working on this. What? I don't think God is waiting. You know, he said, while I was yet a sinner, he died for me. He gave me his only begotten son while I was yet a sinner, and that's how he demonstrated his own love toward me. His kindness has been pouring out of me before I was born. His kindness has been over me. And so just breaking off, going, oh man, if I'm going to receive anything, if I receive anything, it's going to be because of his kindness. I just want him to blow me away with his kindness. And so in the next cast, I want to talk a little bit more about that. But man, praise God. Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Father God, for your kindness. And I thank you, Lord God. Just once again, expose, Father God, how if there'd be any of those little foxes of a works mentality that are just limiting or putting a spigot on your kindness toward us. You have infinite kindness pouring out of us, and you have actually seat us in heavenly places with Christ so we might be able to receive it freely. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for joining us today on Wisdom and Stuff. Don't forget to subscribe to get new updates and check out our podcast page on Podbean to find all our previous posts and full-length messages. We'll see you next time and have a blessed day.